Good morning.
Morning.
Well, when I was trying to think of a subject or topic to talk about this morning, I remember our classes that we've been doing on Wednesday nights. And Mark has been so gracious. And by the way, that is really a shot in the arm for me and Ann. I don't know about anybody else, but just to see the faces, to learn more of God's word and his way and stuff, we thank you, Mark. I certainly do appreciate you coming here, Mary Jo coming with you and stuff, and really enjoying it. But anyway, I remember what we were talking about, and we're talking about Micah. This is the example I was using about the destruction in Israel and Judah. And the rulers at that period of time, they weren't very nice people. I think you could call that maybe an understatement. Because not only did they rob the poor people of everything that they had, well, first of all, they're poor. And when you're poor, you don't have much. But they took it anyway. It didn't make any difference. And not only that, but they also took their fields. So if they were trying to grow a crop or something like that, no more. It was belonged to the rulers of the country at that particular time. But when I started thinking about this topic, I got to thinking about, well, okay, there's an old saying, and probably all of us here this morning has heard this saying, that bad things always come in threes. Everything comes in threes. And to a lot of people, that appears to be a very true statement. But I want to tell everybody here this morning that your life is filled with good and bad events. Some more than others, but it's not always, always bad. It's not always, always good either. It's trying to do that balancing act. That's what we're talking about here. But what happens is when something bad happens, we start focusing on the bad things in our life. And then when we get to a count of three, we say, see, I was right. Bad things come in threes. And then this tendency, it affects each and every one of us in many ways. For an example, when a person gets down, they focus on all the sad things in their life. When they're down, blue, down in the dumps, whatever. They always seem to focus on the bad things in their life or the sad things. But it isn't to say that they have nothing good happening in their lives. It's that they only take note of the depressing things because of the mood that they're in at that particular time. That's why they say it always comes in threes. You know, also, when a person doesn't like another person, they see everything another person does wrong in their view. But the good things are there in that person, but they are ignored. You know, there's an interesting experiment that's on the internet. And the handouts that Ann gave everybody, I think everybody has those handouts with the scriptures. Down there at the bottom, there's a www.website. And you can go after services today, go home, take a look at this for yourself. But it's an experiment that was done years ago. I'm saying like the late 90s is when this experiment was done. And people were asked to watch a video of people dressed. They were either dressed in white or they were dressed in black. And they were passing basketballs between them. Some of you in the audience may have already seen this video. I had not seen it until I was preparing the sermon. But they're either dressed in black or they're dressed in white. And as they're passing these basketballs, they're weaving in and out, kind of confuse you a little bit. You know, here comes a black, here comes a white, here comes a black, white, stuff like that. And they were scrambling around, basically. But the reason for the experiment is that The viewers were asked to count the passes to people that were dressed in white only. Like I said, this afternoon, next week, whenever it's convenient for you, you go to that website. The viewers were asked to count the passes to the people dressed in white only. Then at the end of the experiment, they were all asked for their count. Came up with all sorts of different answers. Then they were asked about their count. They were asked about the gorilla. What gorilla? About half of all the viewers did not notice a guy that was dressed in a gorilla suit walked in the middle of the people passing that basketball, thumping his chest, and then he walked out. They were focused on the basketball. The guy in the gorilla suit comes walking in, walks right through it. And a lot of people, when you ask them, what gorilla? They didn't even see it. Be interesting to have you take a look at that and just see what you think. But the question is, how could they miss something that was so obvious? I mean, here's a guy in a gorilla suit. You know, you don't see that every day. But you missed it. You were worried about that count for those people throwing them basketballs back and forth. And the answer to that question is because they weren't expecting it. And later experiments showed that if people knew about the gorilla and that they all saw him when they looked at this video, the second part of the experiment, that they would miss other unexpected things in the video. For example, they might say, focus on the gorilla, and let me know how many passes the people in black made. Well, I was looking for the gorilla. I didn't even count, you know, and stuff. But again, about half the people would not notice. And this is the same type of concept that magicians use when they do their magic tricks. Whether you're watching America's Got Talent or David Copperfield special, whatever the case may be, when the magicians go on there, how could you miss something that is so obvious? Well, they're setting up expectations and then they do something unexpected. You're setting up to look for this one thing and then they do something unexpected, then voila, it's a magic trick. But this morning here, what I'd like you to consider is how many things are you not noticing in life because of expectations? The first thing I want to talk about is a word of generosity. Generosity is treating others equally. Let's go to that first scripture reading, which is Luke 6, beginning at verse number 30. Luke 6, beginning at verse number 30. And it reads, give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. You know, there's too many people, I feel, in this world today are only generous when they believe that they will benefit from their generosity. I think the world's full of a lot of people like that. Let's see what it says, though, in Proverbs. This time, Proverbs. We're going to chapter 19. and verse number 6. Proverbs 19 and verse number 6. It reads here that many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. Only generous when they believe that theirs will benefit from their generosity. But the thing is, folks, we should do good because it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians. And this is chapter 6. And I'm going to start at verse number 9. In verse 9 it reads, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." You know, we don't treat people differently because of their wealth. We should not do that. What's it say in Leviticus? I'm at Leviticus in chapter 19 and verse 15. Leviticus 19 and verse 15. It reads, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly." You know, after reading that, this can go both ways. You don't have to favor the rich, you don't have to favor the poor, but also you don't despise the poor or despise the rich. What it's saying in giving, you want to be liberal, whether they're rich or whether they're poor. You want to be there and be liberal for them. You know, the benefits to those who are generous are often indirect because it may come back at a later time. What's it say in Ecclesiastes about this? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. If I can find it here. Sorry about this. There it is. Beginning at verse number 1, it reads, "Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portions to 7, or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth." And it's going back to that old proverb that if you feed fish, and they're talking with about the bread on the surface of the water. If you feed fish, and later when you're looking for food, you'll have fish. You need to be willing to help because you may not realize you might need that extra help or whether one day that help might come back to you. And when I read that, I'm thinking of all these people recently, whether it's the floods, the fires in California, people, neighbor helping neighbor, people helping people. Because you never know what it may, 2 weeks from now, be your house or your family that is gone. And they're there at your doorstep, willing to help and do whatever is necessary. Something to think about. You know, blessings, they also say that they come back to the generous. Let's go to Proverbs 11 Proverbs 11 and verse number 25. It reads here that the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. You have to think about those words a little bit. But the blessings come back to those that are generous. While we're in Proverbs, let's go over to Proverbs 18 and verse number 16. It reads here that a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. And I can only think of one great man, and I want to be in front of him. Because God, he takes notice. God will take notice, and he pays back. But a question for all of us this morning, do you notice who needs help? Do you notice who needs help? Still in Proverbs, this time, chapter 22. And verse number 9. It reads here that he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. That's self-explanatory right there. You need to have a generous eye. And you need to take notes of opportunities in which to be generous. And to focus on where you can help. Using the examples of the fires and the floods. You saw it on TV just as well as I did on the news, how people that don't even know people, not even from that town, not even from that state, go and assist those people with regards to cleaning up the debris, trying to rebuild their house, cleaning out their house so they can rebuild their house, whatever the case may be. You know, another thing that we need to do is to remember the poor. Because folks, I don't care what year you're born in, it's happened for ever since Jesus' time, it'll happen while we're gone. There will always be poor people around us who need our help. There will always be. Main thing is, don't hide your eyes. What's it say in Proverbs 28 this time? And verse number 27. Under don't hide your eyes. It reads here, he who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. Something to think about there. Okay, we've talked about generosity. The next thing I want to talk about is the evil eye. I'm not talking about the ones like on the cartoons where the guy's got the black patch over one of his eyes and he gives the other guy the evil eye. But what we're going to talk about, the one that came to my mind, is the parable of the vineyard workers. And the fact that some of them didn't like the fact that the owner was generous to the late arrivers coming in. And that's in Matthew 20. And we've all read this more than once, how this goes. But for this morning, I'd like to do it one more time. That's Matthew 20, and we're starting at verse number 10. And it reads, when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat all of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do with not to do what I wish with what is my own, or is your eye envious because I am generous? These guys that were complaining because they'd worked all day, other people come in and they only work an hour. Instead of seeing that master's generosity, they saw that somebody got the same amount for less work. That's all that they saw. They didn't see the generosity of the gentleman that owned the vineyards. You know, I've used this example more than once, but I'm going to use it again this morning. When I was in my radio days, we had weekly, sometimes monthly, not all the time, contest, sales contest. And if you had a certain amount of sales that you'd made in that week, or a certain amount that you'd made for the entire month, you got some sort of token, an award, lunch with the rest of the group, rest of the salespeople, sales department, or something like that, if you made it. But my experience with the group that I worked at the radio station with, I saw those people who got upset because someone is remembered or praised. Someone is remembered or praised by the fact they achieved the goal. Other people got upset about that. I mean, we all work for the same company, but some people got upset by that. But at the root of it is that those believe that they should be remembered and praised also. They didn't make their goal. They didn't achieve the goal. But these other people did, and they're beating them up because of the fact that they made their goal. Well, I should have some sort of recognition. I came close. Well, as you know, close only counts in two things: horseshoes and hand grenades. But I did. I actually worked with people that were just upset the fact that they wouldn't say that the lunch, the free lunch that the boss bought for everybody, but after lunch and you get out on the street and each one of us went our separate ways to make sales, that's where you hear the grumbling. You know, the people were grumbling. They were finding fault. That's what it boils down to. But in a list of sins, Jesus, he mentions people with an evil eye. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse number 21. It says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, thieves, murderers, idolaters, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." Talks about that evil eye. You know, this is the person who is unhappy at other people's good fortune. I think we've all probably seen or know of someone or met someone or former co-workers, whatever the case may be, that they were just upset because this person made their sales goal and you didn't. It is a person focused on wanting to see misfortune. That's what it boils down to. You know, I looked up the definition of the word miser. And literally, it's a man with an evil eye. And he doesn't like seeing others benefit from him. On Proverbs 28, verse number 22, talks a little bit more about this. Proverbs 28, and verse 22. It says, "A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him." That man is focused on increasing his wealth. but he doesn't see others. He wants more, more, more for him, but he doesn't see the other people. And the other thing is, he doesn't get benefits from helping others. So by not helping others, little, so little comes to him in the future. In other words, this miser, he is the opposite of the man with the generous eye. Because it's also written in the Bible, to not give to those in need is a sin. What's it say in Deuteronomy? Chapter 15 and verse number 9. It says, beware that there is no base thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and your eye is hostile towards your poor brother, and you give nothing, then he may cry to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin in you. It says it right there. Not giving to those in need is a sin. What this example is saying in the Bible is that this person, he'll be taken care of by someone else, not you. You could have, but you chose not to. So he's going to be taken care of by someone else. In other words, opportunities to do good were passed by because of the person's focus. So a question that I need to think about, or all of you to think about also, what kind of eye do you have towards others? What kind of eye do you have towards others? Are you looking to bring people down or bring people up? Or are you looking for the good or what you can do for others? That's a question for all of us, something to think about. You know, each and every Lord's Day, we have the opportunity for the ones that are with us today that are not Christians, that become Christians. And by doing that, we know the what is required with regards to hear Jesus. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to repent of the sins, confess Jesus, be baptized, fully immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and last but certainly not least, is to be faithful always. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday evenings, but 24/7, be faithful always. So, there are those that are present today that are not a Christian. We have everything ready for you. Or if there's are people in our audience today that maybe things have been kind of rough for them, that they need some help from the brothers and sisters in Christ, or to make themselves right with God, we ask that you please come forward as we sing this song of invitation.